Okay, tonight's shiur is not on our regular scheduled programming of our tefillah shiurim. We're going to be addressing a completely different topic this evening, and that is the halachic issues that surround the new vaccine that has been discovered, that has been developed, that is being deployed in order to engage and contend with the COVID-19 virus. It is really amazing. I think before we begin tonight, we just have to take a moment to express such gratitude to the Rabbono Shel Olam that we are where we are at this very moment. Throughout history, there are generations that would have given anything to have a vaccine to be able to disrupt and address pandemics that have swept the world before in the past, as we're going to learn of a little bit tonight. And the notion that one was discovered that is as effective as it is, that was developed as quickly as it was. And while we are already kvetching, about the fact that we are not able to get it yesterday, nevertheless, the recognition that Baruch Hashem, we live in a time and a generation where the advances of science and technology, and please God, logistics will allow us to be able to very soon take advantage of this incredible opportunity of healing. A lot of what I'm going to share tonight is really based on the wisdom of others. I would say almost everything I'm going to share tonight is really based on the wisdom of others. Baruch Hashem, this topic has already been treated extensively by many of our Gedolei Poskim. And so tonight's shiur is really to take us through the thinking, the analysis, the sources, the understanding, the underpinnings of this sugya, of this topic, so that first of all, we could move forward thoughtfully with a sense of knowledge and understanding, but most of all, so that we could take advantage of a moment in halachic history where we are really watching with our own eyes the halachic process, the halachic system, contend with a new reality and all of its challenges and all of its opportunities and all of its realities. So I want to begin tonight with something that was shared by Rav Schechter Shlita in his address with regards to the question of the vaccine. And that is something that we recite in Slichos. In Slichos, on Slichos night, we say, Haneshama lach ve'aguf shalach. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our soul belongs to you as well as our body. Our body belongs to you as well. What does this mean? It means that we were created in this world with a physical vessel that is miraculously able to house a transcendent soul. And this combination, which is unique to the human being, allows us to live life here in this world, to experience the world, to impact the world, to build homes and families and communities, to make a difference, to live a life of meaning and purpose and service to the Rabbono Shel Olam, to do all of that with a sense of presence, a sense of concrete physical experience, but to elevate that experience to a higher purpose and a higher reality. So our physical well-being is not some pragmatic consideration that we need to make sure that we're healthy in order that we're able to do other things. Haguf shelach, our body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is on loan. It is entrusted to us. It is sacred. It is of value and it is of inestimable potential in terms of how we utilize it in order to accomplish things in this world. And I wanted to share with you, if you look at the pasuk that we have quoted so many times, v'nishmartem me'od l'nafshoseichem, the importance of focusing on preserving our health, our nefesh, our soul, our bodies, to make sure this is the source in the Torah of giving such priority to our health. And the reason why in our kehillah, we have made it such a priority at great mesiris nefesh, to ensure that any activity that we do together is done with the utmost sense of caution and appropriate regard for safety and the well-being of everyone in our kehillah. This pasuk, v'nishmartem me'ol l'nafshoseichem, you might think, comes in the context of all sorts of other obligations relating to our physical well-being, our physical self, maybe mitzvos that we have to do that are begufo with our bodies, tefillin, tzitzis, you know, various mitzvos that we do with ourselves. But the truth is, if you look in Sefer Devarim, the introduction to this section of the Torah, Ve'atem advekim ba'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayo. And the Torah then goes on to talk about the experience of Maimed Har Sinai and the critical importance of always remembering, being cognizant of, and propelling the experience of Sinai throughout history and throughout every moment that we live our lives. The importance of it being Raki Shamar Lecho Shmar Nafshecha Me'od Pen Tishkach Es Advarim Asher Ro'ei Necha. Never forget what you saw at Sinai. And then the Torah describes in great detail that experience of Sinai, which is what concretized our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that context, V'nishmartim me'ol v'nafshoseichem, which really refers to our spiritual well-being, our physical well-being, the notion that we have to deal with our health and our life. Our health is not just a bonus. Something that, you know, we have to daven, we have to learn, we have to keep Shabbos, we have to keep kashrus. Oh, and you better stay healthy so that you're able to do all those things. Our health is positioned in the Torah in the context of our core values, of the definition of our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way we can be hadveikim ba'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom, the way in which we're able to connect to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being his servant here in this world, is to preserve and to take care of this master kli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And when we are, when we do not prioritize that in deference to anything, whether it's a physical pursuit or even a spiritual pursuit, we are really arrogantly denying the gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. So this is where we stand. We've been in the middle of this pandemic for many months. We've had many conversations together about how to daven, how to have yontif together, all sorts of different things. And we're now at a major transition point. We're at a point of inflection. And so in order to discuss the vaccine tonight, I am sparing you, even though everyone loves to listen to rabbis explain something in science because it's highly entertaining. But I am sparing you that experience, and I am sharing with you that we have two members of our kahila, of our shul, who themselves, I don't want to create any issues for them with legal issues. I won't tell you where they work, but it rhymes with Schmeiser. And I will tell you that these two individuals, while we have all been hawking about vaccines and different things that could happen, they have been involved in the Melechus HaKodesh of dealing with the actual development of what this is. And it's really, I get emotional. It's really an amazing thing to feel like within our own kehila, in our own shul, we daven and learn together with people who are making such a extraordinary contribution, not just to the Jewish people, but to all of humanity. And so I actually asked them to introduce our program tonight, to share a little bit about the vaccine itself and what a vaccine is and what this vaccine is. It's not going to be a long presentation about all the medical, these are not doctors, all the medical recommendations, but just to give us some context and some understanding. And before we do, I really want to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank Ellie Needle and Mark Kurtz, who are going to, Ellie's going to give our initial presentation. And then if there are questions, we can field them with everyone. But I really want to express to them, and by extension to everyone that has been involved with this, a sense of gratitude. It is so important that we not take any step of this for granted. We're not entitled to a vaccine. We're not entitled to a solution. All of this is by the grace of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and all of this is through the added hishtadlus of people who have prioritized this work over so many other things. So I am going to give up the one thing that this pandemic has given me, which is the chance to mute Balabatim. And I am going to sacrifice that and ask to unmute a very special member of our shul and ask him to share some things with us. Ask to unmute. You with us, Ellie?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. So I think, you know, by means of introduction, it's been really fascinating. It's taken a global pandemic to introduce the entire world to certain things that I think.
Oh, wait, Ellie?
Yeah.
Can anyone hear Ellie?
Can you hear me?
You can hear Ellie, just I can't hear Ellie.
Okay.
Hold on one moment. I know why you hear me. I muted my computer. Ellie?
Back on.
Okay, beautiful. I apologize.
I hear myself a little bit through your computer, but...
Oh, I'll turn it down a little bit. Okay.
Okay. So what I was beginning to say was, you know, it's taken a global pandemic to kind of given the world sort of an appreciation for some of the things that people really that either are in a hospital setting or in a laboratory setting, you know, for our careers and for most of our lives, learn these terminologies, learn this particular nomenclature. Everybody's going around talking about PPE, personal protective equipment, rattling off the letters PCR, learning about antibodies. Everybody's got an opinion about antibodies, and certainly everybody has an opinion about vaccines. So I thought, based on the rabbi's request, to kind of give a little bit of an introduction of what vaccines are, to make sure that we're all on the same page before going forward with tonight's shiur. And I think you can kind of break vaccines down into two categories. There are such a thing as therapeutic vaccines. These are vaccines that will treat an ongoing disease. They're not very common. They're mostly in the developmental stage right now. It's a very hot topic called immuno-oncology. That in more simple terms is called cancer vaccines. That means patients with a certain type of cancer can be given some form of a vaccine to treat an existing medical condition. But most vaccines that people tend to think about are preventative, prophylactic vaccines. And the goal for both of those, whether they're therapeutic or preventative, is to engage the immune system. And the common goal is to get the immune system to recognize something that is not supposed to be there. So if and when the body encounters that particular thing, whatever it is, they are basically at the ready to fight off that thing that is not supposed to be there. Okay. So in the sense of the preventative vaccines, there are really about four, maybe five different categories of these types of preventative vaccines. They fight off bacteria and viruses most commonly. And historically, and I think we talked about this earlier today as well, the first vaccine was actually given in the late 1700s. If you think about the history of vaccines, really going back well over 200 years, when a guy named Dr. Edward Jenner immunized an 8-year-old boy with a blister, a cowpox blister, on a woman's arm, from a woman's arm, and that boy in turn was now immunized, able to ward off a smallpox infection. So he was basically immunoprotected against the smallpox. That was an actual live virus. People don't really tend to use live viruses unless they're manipulated in some way, shape, or form, you know, in modern times. And there's such a thing called a live attenuated virus. Attenuated essentially means the virus is live, but it cannot replicate inside a human. And at least that can't replicate very well. It's not perfectly, it's not a perfect system, but it doesn't replicate very well. There are also inactive vaccines. So these viruses have been chemically altered in some way, shape, or form, heat altered in some way, shape, or form, that they're no longer infectious, but yet at the same time, they elicit an immune response. So the body's own immune system recognizes this as a foreign body and is able to ward this off should an actual infection occur. There's another classification of vaccine called toxoid vaccines. These vaccines don't necessarily target a bacteria or a virus, but they target the toxin that those bacteria produce. Good examples of that would be diphtheria or tetanus. And then there's probably the most common type of vaccine that is currently being developed for all sorts of bacterial or viral infections by most of the major companies today. And those are called subunit vaccines. It's a way to immunize a person, not with a whole bacteria, not with a whole virus, but a small piece. Polysaccharides, long sugar molecules that surround bacteria, for example. That's the major component of a vaccine called Prevnar that a lot of people have heard of. So you don't have to necessarily give a person exposure to the entire bacteria, but enough of the outer coat is enough that the immune system, should they encounter the actual bacteria, will say, hey, I've seen this before, and I know it doesn't belong here, and I can gobble it up, chew it up, spit it out, and basically protect the host from becoming infected. And that's true for viruses as well, these protein coats. And I think in terms of the COVID, we've all seen these little red spikes on this circular depiction of the coronavirus. And the spike protein has become the common theme for most of the pharmaceutical companies to target. Okay, so again, it's not the entire virus, but it's just the outer piece of it. So if you immunize in some way, shape, or form with this spike protein, the immune system recognizes that spike protein. And should the coronavirus infection actually occur, the immune system has seen that spike protein and says, I know this doesn't belong here. Incidentally, the spike protein is what the virus uses to attach to a cell and infect the cell. So it's a really good target. You really kind of knock it off before it even is able to infect the cell. And there's been different approaches, whether you immunize a person with the actual purified spike protein that is done in a laboratory, and you can immunize with that, or the genetic material that is the encoding nucleic acid, if you will, of that spike protein. And the two vaccines that are out on the market, or not out on the market, but at least have been authorized for emergency use, and that is an important distinction. Fully approved vaccine or fully licensed vaccine is very different than authorized for emergency use. And where we are right now is emergency use only. The Moderna, the Pfizer vaccine contain a little piece of messenger RNA, which is essentially the code for the spike protein that mRNA gets into the body. The person's own body makes this spike protein. The immune system recognizes it as foreign and generates antibodies, and the person is then protected should the actual viral infection occur. And there's various ways of doing that. Also, the AstraZeneca vaccine, which just got approved, I think, this week in the UK, doesn't use messenger RNA, but actually goes back a step and uses the actual DNA, which is kind of one step before the DNA then becomes RNA, then becomes protein. But the common denominator in all of this is to immunize an individual with some form of this spike protein, and the person will then be protected. Let me stop there, take any questions, or hand it back to the rabbi.
Okay. Mark, you want to add anything, or we'll hold it for later? We're good. Okay, wonderful. All right. First of all, Ellie, thank you. I really could not have said it better myself. this is obviously a complex concept, and you've simplified it for us and explained it to us. I was basically going to say you get a shot and then you can't get the virus, but you have definitely broadened the nuance in our understanding here, and I am excited to draw on what you shared with us in the course of the shiur. Okay. So that brings us back to our Makoros. I'm going to post the Makoros once again in the chat for those who did not have a chance to see them. And you're welcome to open them and join us. And here we go. So the question that arises is, as Ellie pointed out, this vaccine is approved for emergency use. This vaccine was developed quickly. This vaccine was developed, in response to this crisis that we all find ourselves in. And so one of the questions that many are asking is, what is the halakhic response to a medical reality that does entail something that was developed that is new, that is a little bit unknown, and that to some people who are concerned, it is it something that poses any risk? So I'm not going to address directly medical questions, but through our journey together, through the Chuvas and through the Makoros, we will address those questions. So the goal of tonight is not to just leave with the rabbi said, go get the vaccine. The goal is to understand that the poskim do struggle with and do work through all of these questions. And all of these questions are being considered. This is not some sort of dogmatic approach that there can't possibly be anything wrong with this, so let's just assume everybody should do it. Rather, we really do work through the issue. So let's begin. Source number two comes from the Minchas Asher. This is going to be a substantial portion of what we look at together tonight. The Minchas Asher is Rav Asher Weiss. And this is a tshuva that came out Parshas Miketz, not that long ago, Chevra. These are not tshuvas from years ago. Very, very recently. L'she'elas Rabbim, Morei Hora. Many are being asked, the Morei Hora, those that pasken halacha, Manhige Am, the Amcha Beis Yisrael, the leaders of the nation and the people. Everyone wants to know. The Inyan Achison, that's a new word we're all going to learn tonight. Chison is a vaccine. Achadash, that is new. Neged Machalos HaKorona, against the disease of coronavirus. And the question is amplified. Is it permissible to take this vaccine? Or maybe we should refrain from taking the vaccine. Maybe there's an obligation in order to prevent sakana, in order to prevent any sort of danger to oneself and to others. So what's the hesitation after Ellie's beautiful presentation? Some are hesitating to take the vaccine. Because it's new. And it has been opened, it has been released for use in a zman kitzar yachsit, which means a relatively short period of time. I should point out that when we had our program with YU, Dr. Glatt, who was quoting from one of the experts that was involved in the government oversight of approving the vaccines, that they were absolutely insistent that even though the process, and I hope that Mark and Ellie will corroborate this, that even though the process moved very quickly, steps were not skipped. We didn't arrive at the fastest vaccine we've ever found because there are things we didn't do hoping this will all work out. But rather, a lot of the bureaucratic elements and funding concerns and financial risks that come along with producing vaccine before you're sure it's going to work and then getting it approved and releasing it, all of that, a lot of that was covered by the government. And as a result of the United States government, this process was streamlined so it could happen in a relatively short period of time, but not that safety protocols were compromised in any way. But we have to all admit, and I would imagine that our chevra would agree, we don't know the long-term effects of this because this is very new. This is extremely new. On the other hand, the health authorities that we rely on in the vast majority of countries that are developed countries, Medinos Hametukanos, developed countries, have approved the use of this vaccine. And according to the experts, Hamusamchim that we rely on, Medubar Bechison, She'en Kol Sikun, that there is not, She'en Bo Kol Sikun, there is not a danger, V'to'alaso, and the effectiveness, Huchach Me'ever L'chol Safek. So that those two elements are going to be halachically significant. Is the risk significant, or is the unknown significant? And as a counterbalance to that, is the effectiveness of what we're doing significant? And so those are both relevant. So Ellie mentioned Edward Jenner, who I just have a quick addition here from Wikipedia explaining who he is. One of the pioneers of vaccines, creating the smallpox vaccine. And if you look at the next step of the Minchas Asher, he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael is Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz. He lived from 1782 to 1860. And he is, if you open the, before we all had Kahati Mishnayos, the old school Mishnayos, which actually are on my shelf next to my Yerushalmi, you can't see them. The old school Mishnayos add on the sides, Yachinu Boaz, Tiferes Yisrael. And he has a commentary on the Mishnayos. He was a Rav in Dessau and in Danzig, an Ashkenazi Rav. So in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, of all things, this never came up in our Pirkei Avos shir that we've gone through 18 times. I'm not sure. But the Tiferes Yisrael Kosav Shehachosid Yanar, he quotes this individual. Hachosid Yanar, this doctor, Shehimtzi Es Achison, who discovered the concept of vaccines, or at least was one of the pioneers of it. Umechaside Umos Ha'olam. He's from the righteous of the Umos Ha'olam. Uvedinu Sheyato Scharo La'olam Haba. He's going to get great schar in Olam Haba. Shehitzil Alpayim V'Rivavos V'Renes Shachas. That he saved thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But points out the Minchas Asher, the Tiferes Yisrael never addresses, should you take the smallpox vaccine or not in that Mishnah, but rather he just mentions with great accolades the work of Edward Jenner, that it in fact was saving many, many lives. Ach b'makom acher, but in Meseches Yuma, the Tiferes Yisrael does address it. Kosavi writes, and again, this is we're looking at something now that's in the late 1800s, really the late 1700s, early 1800s. Kosav de af de gat shegam bechison ye sakana misuyemes. So he writes, the Tiferes Yisrael write, even though a vaccine involves, without a question, risk, it involves lethal risk, it involves risk to the life, v'yesh mishameso al yedei l'kichas achison, and there were those that died through taking the vaccine, as Eli mentioned. This vaccine was given was live virus. This vaccine was given, they hadn't studied in laboratories all the dosage and all the different ways in which it could affect people. Kevin Shabit, so he writes the Tiferes Yisrael, he's writing about the first vaccine, which is hitting smallpox. Smallpox, we have to understand, was completely decimated the population of Europe. There were millions of people that died of the disease of smallpox. It had a very high death rate. So he writes, even though the vaccine also is dangerous, nevertheless, Kevin Shabinimiya Sachison, since not taking the vaccine, Hasakana Gedola Le'ein Aruch, is a much greater sakana. Therefore, you should take the vaccine. Now, understand that in the halachic calculation of risk, this is very significant. We're not talking about a situation where someone is ill and we have to do something that has risk in order to cure them. In the halachic calculation of whether or not to take a risk to cure someone, so there it's clear, you take a risk in order to prevent, in order to heal something. All surgery has risk. Many treatments have risk, as we know. Significant side effects, significant risk. What changes with vaccines, as opposed to, let's say, general treatments of cancer that also have risk and that also have side effects and that also could have a negative impact on a person's long-term health. But here, you're dealing with a illness that's omed befanav. The illness is sitting right there. So the question is, what level of risk do we take in order to cure the illness? The vaccine is addressing healthy people. The vaccine's addressing a situation where people are healthy. We're worried they're going to get sick. Since we're worried they're going to get sick, we want to inoculate them with this vaccine, which will prevent them from getting sick. The sakana is not standing in front of you right now. And so therefore, taking a risk to do that is a different calculus in the world of halacha. Now, if you're living in the time of the smallpox outbreak, it may be that just simply because they did not have the same level of knowledge of viral transmission and how all these different things work, it could be that even if you were a healthy person, you weren't really halachically a healthy person. And that was a big discussion. We've quoted those Makoros earlier. The famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter during the Kor outbreak about making Kiddush on Yom Kippur, even for those that are healthy, was a discussion. So this is the Shiloh. And he writes that nevertheless, you should take it because we evaluate the risk in a broader construct. And since there's no question, when we take a snapshot of society in general, it's clear that en masse, it's better for people to have the vaccine than not have the vaccine, balancing all of the risks, he feels that one should do it. The Echad Mirabbani Azman. So one of the Rabbanim of that generation named Rabbi Avraham Hamburg. He was Rabbi Avraham from Hamburg, Shaya Rav. He was a Rav in Hague and afterwards in London. He published a sefer called Olim Litrufa. That was the name of the sefer. We have this sefer, and he discusses this shaila: should we, the Frum community, take the vaccine, knowing that people are succumbing to side effects of the vaccine? Should we do such a thing? And he wrote this to collect tshuvas from that generation. He wrote it because his own two children died of smallpox, and he was advocating to the Rabbanim of the generation that they should be matir the vaccine, so that they should encourage people to take the vaccine. And he put this together. So the Kulam Ke'echad Anu Ve'omru, everyone agreed in the tshuvas that he collected, Sheyesh Lakachas Chisun Zeh, Av Shebizman Ehem, even though that in their time, Yadu they knew Sheyesh Eza Anashim Shachem Meisu Ketotza Me'achisun, even though they knew that there were people that would die because of taking the vaccine, nevertheless, they paskin to take the vaccine. Look at source number 6. Then the Minchas Asher quotes the Shilas Vachuvas Zera Emes, Rabbi Yishmael HaKohen. He was an Italian Rav who lived from 1723 to 1811, a little earlier in terms of lifespan. So he writes in his Shilas Vachuvas Zera Emes, his kased im chacham echad, Rabbi Chaim Yehuda Geron. We had this debate with Rabbi Chaim Yehuda Geron. Ritzo v'shol b'she'el azu. Pikrik ha'shol, if it's mutter to take this vaccine, since kevin sheyesh ba'sakana, there's a sakana, v'yesh shemesu al yado, and there are those that are dying through the vaccine. Af, we're in source number 6 in the middle. Af im sakana rechokai, even if it's a sakana rechoka, it's a distant risk. It's a low risk. So Vazera MS Heshiv, the Zera MS answered, Va'arucha, in a lengthy tshuva, Ubitchilas Dvara, Vachain Pikpeki Mutal Adam Lahachnos Atzmo, Biadayim, Lisafik Sakana, Kedeli Manea, Misafik Sakana, Shadayim Rechoka Mimena Velochalabo. So he addresses the exact situation that we discussed before. Is it permissible to put yourself into a situation of safek sakana, of a doubt for sakana, in order to prevent another safek sakana, right? Because since the individual is not yet sick, it prevents another safek sakana. There's a lot of discussion in the kidney donation halachic literature about if it's permissible for a person to put themselves into situation of suffix sakana in order to heal someone else, in order to help heal someone else. So that's ach b'sof, but here we don't have a sick person in front of us. It's to prevent a possible illness. So that's our situation, to take the vaccine so that if you become exposed to the coronavirus, and you get the coronavirus, it will not make an individual sick. Ach besof davar hisik tekeven shiluli achison asakana gedola le'ein aruch nasakana shayidei achison adif lakachas asachison. So he explains, and this is very relevant for us, as we'll see, and it's in the applicational phase of this tshuva. He answers, it is absolutely mutter to take that vaccine. Why? Because since the risk of the vaccine is lower than the risk of getting sick with the illness. So therefore, you put the two risks up against each other, and the risk of getting the illness is much greater than any of the risk associated with the vaccine, even though there is a risk associated with the vaccine. And so therefore, he paskin that it was mutter. Hashoel chazer v'yisnatsa v'kevin sheyaro lahoros, yishtamish v'lahoros 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 v'lachiyav v'lashlila. And then he goes back, he says, I don't want to paskin, you know, and but at the end of the day, that's his thinking. Then the Minchas Asher quotes the Kaf HaChaim, famous Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai. The Kaf HaChaim writes, Ve'ata nischakmu yoser arofim. Now our doctors have developed vaccines much further. Sha'osin zrika ayidei mechet biyad hayeladim. Now we give them to children through a needle, through an injection. And through that, the children do not receive, do not get sick with smallpox. So the Minchas Asher says, so you see, in the vaccine discussion in the 1700s, 1800s, these gedolim, who we look to for halachic precedent, noktu sheroi lakachas that you see that they paskined that people should take these vaccines, even though they knew that there was a percentage of the people taking them that inevitably would suffer great consequences, including death, by taking the vaccine. Kevan she'ela have miyuta de miyuta. Because that was the exceptional situation, the lelo achison mesu rabin, and without the vaccine, many people would die. And again, this is a little bit of a chiddush because we are evaluating the health of the individual in the context of what's going to happen to the group overall, and so therefore, that contextual reality reshapes the calculus of risk-benefit ratio. And since when you look at the average individual and you say, is it more risky to take the vaccine or not take the vaccine? And you take into account the context, the rate of infection, how serious the infection takes hold of the individual, the death rate of the infection. When you look at all of that, you come to the conclusion, they came to the conclusion that it was mutter. Ve'im kach pasku b'yameya, and now the Minchas Asher is talking. Now Rav Asher Weiss is talking. So if that's true, then kal v'chomer b'yameinu, it's certainly true now. Ki achisonim b'yameinu, because the vaccines in our day, bituchim le'el aruch mimah she'ayu b'mei kedem, are so much more reliable and safe than they were in the times of these achronim, of these earlier achronim. And I share with you on source number 9, a paragraph from the Pfizer executive summary, which you can go read. All the data is presented. You could read it online, where it basically talks about the fact that there was extremely low, if any, issues, health issues that emanated from people in this study. You're welcome to read this paragraph. I don't fully understand what it means, but Ellie explained to me that it absolutely confirms that. The Minchas Asher in source number 10 writes, "Ulegabi achison neged hakorona." So the chison, the vaccine that we're relating to, that relates to corona. Bivdikos shenercha yedei acheras amitziaros toch shkipus maleya, that the companies, the producers, have to do all sorts of trials with transparency that have oversight, upikuach, and there's supervision through external factors. They tested it on close to, he says, 85,000 people. That half of them got the, and he explains how the study worked. Half of them got the vaccine. Half of them got Kiblu tachlif okar. What does that mean? A tachalif, like a substitute, an exchange, okar, of something barren, something missing, meaning a placebo. A rabbinic colleague of mine in Manhattan was in one of the trials. They don't tell you whether you're in, obviously, the placebo group or the vaccine group. And he just found out today, he was very excited, he posted it online, that they just unmasked, whatever it's called, they told him that you were in the vaccine group. So these were the two groups. So ma'aso sa'alopim shalochu es achisa lo nimtzaf echad shemez ketotza me'achisa. So Minchas Asher writes that of the 10,000s of people that took the vaccine, they didn't find one person that died as a result of the vaccine. Me'akvutza shekiblas tachlif niftaru shisha anashim. From those that took the placebo, six people died. Ume'ela shekiblas achisa niftaru shnayim bilvat. And only two died of those who took the vaccine. So my understanding of what he's saying is that if there was a greater death rate in the placebo group than in the control group, than in the vaccine group, then the presumption is it's not the vaccine that's causing this. So legabi shnei amesim shekiblu achiso leuvchon shum kesher in sibas amaves uben achiso. And when they drilled down in looking at those two individuals that died in that group, they did not discover a connection between those individuals and the vaccine. L'das kol ha-mumchim, according to all of the experts, al af ha-mehirus shebchizav chizon yishiro, even though there was mehirus, there was a very fast rate of, despite the quickness with which this was approved, chizon ze humine ha-ayayelim va-bituchim that it's one of the best, most effective vaccines ever. I'm just going to pause, if I can find my experts on my Zoom screen. And do we have any pushback here? Or are we, or we're in agreement with Rav Usher's understanding of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our understanding, that any adverse event was just, you know, that led into death especially, was just not considered to have any connection to the vaccine itself.
Okay, Mark, you agree?
I agree.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is the this is his analysis. So therefore, he's of the opinion, and again, this is a halachic conclusion. Like we spoke about extensively when the pandemic began and things were starting to open up, we don't just do things because they intuitively make sense to us. We live al pi halacha. We live al pi halacha. We take whatever risks we're supposed to take al pi halacha, and we restrain ourselves from any risks that we're supposed to restrain ourselves from al pi halacha. We don't daven with a minyan when we're told by experts that it's dangerous, that's forbidden. And we don't restrain ourselves from assuming the whatever minimal unknowns, I don't even want to call them a risk based on our experts that are with us tonight, but whatever unknowns exist on this, we don't presume that would be a problem in moving forward with this. And it would fall under the rubric of taking care of our health to do what it is that we're supposed to do. The Minchas Asher then addresses the question of following medical experts. So even though we spelled the word following wrong here, but nevertheless, we're all certainly aware that when it comes to vaccines in general, there is a movement that's out there in the world that pushes against the safety of vaccines. And we're not going to address that in its broad reality. That's already been around for a long time, and it was around for other vaccines that we use, and it's certainly front and center in its advocacy for this vaccine. But the question then becomes, and this was a question that we had also as a shul, you know, there are many experts, Baruch Hashem, we're zocheh to have two experts that are sitting on our program tonight who are part of our kehillah. There are many people in the world who have scientific and medical knowledge. There are many researchers and scientists. How do we know who to listen to? How do we know when we're making a halachic decision who we should listen to? How do we decide what we should do? Maybe somebody has an expert that says something else. Maybe we should listen to that expert. So there is a halachic process to discern how we integrate data from the world into the halachic universe of evaluation and analysis. There are halachic principles that govern such activity. It's not just a free-for-all that anybody who wants to make an assumption about the world then has the license to apply halachic principles and come to a conclusion. There are, in the system itself, instructive principles that tell you how to integrate data. So V'kfar Herachtis, he quotes another tshuva that he has, Lochiach, that he talks about the fact that when we talk in halacha about relying on doctors, lismach al das hamumchim va'reform shbichol tchum v'tchum, we rely on medical professionals. We rely on the mumchim. We rely on the experts in each and every field. V'yesh halachos mefurashos. There are explicit halachos. Gam keitzad yesh lino kai sher yesh stira bein datam shorofim shonim. It's not a new idea that doctors disagree, that there are different approaches. So there's a machlokas harofim. So what do you do? So some people's approach in this pandemic has been, well, we would like to move forward with a certain set of behaviors. Let's find a doctor that agrees with us, and we'll follow that doctor. That's neged halacha. That's not what we do. What do we do? Bein datam shorofim shonim. V'chol ki agav li yesh mishkol adas harof. So he writes, and this is Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, we'll see this a little later in the Rambam. He writes, the Gemara had situations where doctors disagree. So you have a person that we need to decide, can they eat on Yom Kippur? Can they violate Yom Kippur? Can they go ahead and eat? We're not sure. We're not sure if their condition requires eating or not. I get this Shiloh all the time with women who are Bishatova expecting. Some doctors, some of our Nashim Tzikanios' doctors are very cautious with pregnancy in all stages and advise them not to fast. Some doctors are of the opinion that there's no risk or very minimal risk in fasting for Yom Kippur for a pregnant woman under the right conditions. So what's a Rav to do? What are you supposed to do? Who's right? Who's wrong? You're a rabbi. You don't know anything about this. What are you supposed to do? So the answer is you look for two things. Number one, you draw a circle around the mumchim, around the experts. Not everybody who has an opinion is an expert in their field. The first thing you do is you look for experts. People who study and live and develop in this particular area for a very long time. A general practitioner is somebody who has a tremendous amount of capacity and ability in a large range of areas. But like all fields, people who have focused in a particular area for their whole career, they're an expert. So first you draw a circle around the experts. And then you figure out, so sometimes the experts disagree. Such a thing is also possible. So he writes, we follow Rov. We follow the majority. We follow the majority. That's a halachic principle. I think the minority might be right. This is the din. We follow the majority. He says, I acknowledge, says Rav Asher Weiss, there have been times throughout Jewish history where we have Rabbanim pushing back on the advice of the Rofim. And he quotes examples where they were, where the doctors felt that things were transmitted through bad air quality and the Rabbanim weren't sure that they agreed with that. Other examples during the cholera epidemic in 1873, where whether or not we should, certainly anybody who was sick at all, they wanted to break their fast, but should we even have people who are healthy? And there were single das yachids that felt, you know, that we should be machmir on some of these things. So there's definitely always been a discussion, a vibrant discussion. Harei she, we're in the third paragraph. Shigdole Yisrael l'pomim yifilu shikla das af lefavik masha amur arof machmir kol makom lemaisa. See, and rabbis get involved. They have an opinion. I think we should do this. I think we should do that. I don't know. Quarantine, it doesn't make sense to me. This, that. Ach mikol makom lamaisa chashishu l'divrayem b'makom cheshash sakana. But at the end of the day, whenever we're dealing with the cheshash sakana, we always have to account for the majority and the experts. Ach ein kol ze inyan l'nido didan. But none of this matters with our inyan, where we're dealing with the following, where the vaccine mitzad echad and the cheshash, the concern with this vaccine is so minimal, it's really only in the realm of unknown. In other words, all of our science that tells us what is safe establishes the notion that this is safe. He says, we're dealing with a situation where all the experts and all the governments have approved this vaccine. We're dealing with a situation where the people who the governments turn to approve these vaccines themselves are experts. So the experts in infectious diseases, the experts in immunology, the experts who the government appoints and trusts to make these decisions, and the governments themselves, the lay oversight to make sure that people are dealing with this openly. B'chol tfusas ha'aretz, all over, there's a sense of recognition that this is a safe thing to do. So when you're dealing with a situation like that, that the chashash is so small, and you're dealing with, and that, and everybody has agreed, then they're, you know, in this situation, to push back on it would be completely irresponsible. The old BRT, the kasher noagim anu lefi da'atam shalamumchim b'tchumam af im chalila toim ema shomer psoim Hashem. So listen to what he says, because this is important. Doctors aren't perfect. Researchers aren't perfect. No one's saying that it's absolutely impossible that anybody here made a mistake. That's not the taina. We have to make life decisions based on what is in front of us to the best of our ability. We all know, we've all made life decisions that have turned out to be regretful. We've all taken chances, maybe not with medicine, but with maybe other aspects of our life. And then we look back in retrospect and say, I don't know if we made the right decision. It's not impossible that somebody made a mistake. However, we have a principle. It's a principle that Rabbi Sachs addressed at the very beginning of the pandemic, called Shomer Psoim Hashem. Shomer Psoim Hashem means that when something is understood by society, and in this case, that means the experts in the medical community and the vast overwhelming majority of the experts in the medical community establish that something's safe, even if they're making a mistake, you have a right to go ahead and engage that vaccine and rely with bitachon on Shomer Psoim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the simple amongst the world. You are not allowed to rely on Shomer Psoim Hashem when you're doing something that is objectively dangerous. That was what Rabbi Sachs taught us at the beginning of the pandemic, if you recall, when there were those that felt, hey, listen, you know, people are going here, people are going there, and doesn't seem like there's a problem, and people are becoming more comfortable. So maybe that should be a license for me to be able to do something. Because we have a concept in the Gemara of Dasho Bei Rabin, that things that have a minimal amount of risk, one is allowed to do if that risk has been assumed as normative by the world. There's a small amount of risk in driving a car. But once you're dealing with something that is objectively dangerous, once you're dealing with something that's objectively dangerous, so then you can't say Shomer Psoim Hashem. But here, we're dealing with something that is objectively safe. And so, therefore, we're religious people. We make this decision not just based on data and science. We also make it in the context of halacha. And halacha tells us that you're allowed to do something that has an outside chance of being problematic. Shomer Psoim Hashem. Can we promise you, can Eli and Mark promise you that in 30 years from now, there won't discover some challenge that arose? It's highly unlikely. All of their science, a scientific method that in and of itself is supposed to establish empirical realities, empirical principles, empirical data, measurable data that is predictive of what will ultimately come. Nobody's a prophet. Nobody's a Navi. So does that mean we shouldn't take the vaccine? No. Shomer Psoim Hashem. We live our lives with intelligence, with thoughtfulness. We live our lives safely, and we rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take care of the rest. So therefore, he writes in source number 12, the vast majority of doctors that are experts in this area have declared this to be safe, to the point that there's almost no other. On the other hand, says the Milchas Asher, the Magefa, Corona itself, everybody is agreeing, Mishtoleles Berkerbenu is still around. And there is no day that we don't find people passing away, even from the Jewish community. Look at the next two words, Chevro. Litzaareinu, in pain, ule boshtenu, and in embarrassment. What does that mean, in embarrassment? In embarrassment, ha'adishus achzabanu, to the indifference that seems to have grabbed our parts of our community. V'chol echad omer shalom alai nafshi, and everybody is saying to themselves, I feel fine, I'm fine. V'od b'tchilas ha'machla, this is Rav Asher Weiss talking. In the beginning of the machla, hargashas ha'arevus naga l'chol leiv, there was a feeling of mutual responsibility that pushed on every heart. V'chol mishpacha, and any family, she'ibdas echad mibaneha, anybody who lost someone, kulam yadu aleh, everybody knew about it, bishtatfu b'tzara be'avla, and joined together in the tzar in the morning, anashim tzeirim, young people, shamru al kol klalei azeirus, were careful with all of the recommendations, with the masks, with the social distancing, mechashash pigia becholim v'zekeinim v'tashushim, because they were worried that sick people, vulnerable people, older people would get hurt. Kayom azeh ein l'chayom she'ein bo meis. U'milvad ha'meis v'magefa. And aside from the people, and we're in this now, there every day someone passes away. And not only do people pass away, yesh alfin v'rivavol she'abru v'samak l'fnei chodshim rabim v'adayin sovlim. There are many, many people, I know this to be a fact, we all know this to be a fact. This is not a virus, you get it, it's gone. This thing lingers. This thing affects all sorts of systems. This thing can compromise all sorts of parts of the body that we don't even fully understand. And all of the investigation has proven that this machla, pogas beharbe marachos beguf, it affects many systems in the body. The yeshpo lirabim nezek, and it does a lot of damage. It does a tremendous amount of damage. The leish lo ichmes misavlam shel acherim, says, and people don't care about other people. Oila oso busha va'oila oso chlima. Woe is to the embarrassment that we should have, and the shame that we should have, that we're not every single person being careful with the recommendations of this. So b'tchilas ha-machla, listen what he writes. In the beginning of this machla, kasher, by the way, this tshuva was not to Pesach, this tshuva was to the world. In the beginning of this machla, kasher tsaru shel zeh, nagal lelibo shel zeh, when everybody felt everybody's pain, rabsa ahava b'ahachva b'Yisrael, there was so much unity in the Jewish people, b'chayom hazeh, and today, there's so much tension, there's so much discord. And says Rav Asher Weiss, we should take into account that the sin of machlokes, midas adin goveres, that brings on the Jewish people, the midas adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he is reflecting on the reality of where we are, that we have to continue to be cautious, we have to continue to be careful, we have to continue to follow the advice and the guidance of the medical experts. U'mishum kozeh nira dekach noa dekach yoeh, v'roi l'ischaseng b'chison zeh. His language is ra'ui, that this is what you should do. You should get vaccinated. And he writes, I can't tell you that you are chayiv to get vaccinated, shelo ucha lomer sheish chova, can't say it's an obligation, because harotza lahamshich, if you want to continue to take all of the precautions, to wear a mask, to have social distancing, and through that protect yourself and those around you, You know, he writes about Nira Lechora, the Kekol Sheyoser Anoshim. He says, I can't tell you, you're not allowed to do that. Can't force you to do this. But it's clear that the more people that take the vaccine, Vanoshim Yargishu Bituchim Yoser, Yiflu Amachitos Ben Ishrayo Bitagabra Sakhani. He said, I'm very worried that the more people take the vaccine, people will stop being careful. And that will increase the sakana for those that are most vulnerable. So he's very worried. He thinks that it's the right thing to do, to take the vaccine. And he ends with a tefillah that we do so. Just wanted to share a couple of other poskim as well. So Rav Willig, who spoke on a program that I sent out the link to, he felt more strongly than Rav Asher Weiss. He felt not ro'oi li'ischasein, not that it's the right thing to do and you should do it. That's pretty strong. He felt chayiv. You absolutely have to do it. And he based that on a sugya related to a pasuk in Dvarim about the mitzvah of ma'akeh, that when we build a new house or we come into possession of a new home, we have to build a ma'akeh, we have to build a fence around the property. And the Sefer HaChinuch discusses extensively that this is not just the mitzvah to build a fence around your house. It's a mitzvah to take responsibility to minimize risk to anything that threatens people's well-being. And he writes very extensively that that is the yesod of this halacha. I share with you the Sefer HaChinuch, both in Hebrew and in English. You're welcome to go through it. But look at the Rambam in source number 16 in Hilchas Rotzeach, B'Shmiras HaNefesh. It's interesting. The Rambam combines the halachos of rotzeach, of murder, and shmiras hanefesh, and protecting your life. And if you look at so in the context of discussing this din, if you look at the second line before the end, v'chein kol michshol sheyesh bo sakanos nefashos. Anytime there's a michshol, anytime there's something in the environment that could threaten people's lives. Mitzvahs asay, it's a mitzvah asay la'asiro, to remove it. Vili shomer mimenu, and to protect from it. Vili zayar badavar yafe yafe, and to protect from it very well. Yishomer l'cho shmar nafshicha. You have to guard your life, imlo esir, and if you don't, you're over on a lav. And that's what he writes. V'chola over alein ve'omer. This is the Rambam talking. And anybody who says to themselves, Hareni misakin be'atzmi, umala acherim alai bekach. I'm just taking the risk for myself. Or eni makbin bekach, or I don't care. Makin oso makas mardus. We punish that person. That's not okay. And Rabbi Willard pointed out, this is the last simon in the whole Shulchan Aruch. This is how the Shulchan Aruch ends. The whole Shulchan Aruch, all of Aruch Chaim and all of Yeridea and all of Evin HaEzer and all of Choshen Mishpat and all the dinim that characterize halachic life in our world, in our experience, in our reality, all end in source number 17. Look at the second halacha. Kol michshol sheyesh bo sakanos nefashos mitzvos aseh la'asiro lishamer mimenu v'lahazir b'davar yafeh, that there's a mitzvah to make sure that we're always removing michsholim that threaten people's well-being. It is not okay to act as if there's no problem and just assume and take risks with your own health and certainly not with anybody else's health. It is not against speeches by rabbis. It is against the din. It's against the halacha. It's against the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. This is what the Bir HaGolah writes. On that halacha that Rabbi Willard quoted in source number 18, if you look at the bottom, the end of it, someone who puts themselves into sakana, it's as if they are corrupting the Ratzon Hashem. The Eino Roa Lo Vodoso Lo Matan Scharo V'Ein Lecha Zilzul V'Apikorsa Yoser Mizeh. We discussed this at the beginning of when things got difficult, right? We live in a society that is very individualistic. I should be able to do what I want to do. It's my body. It's my life. It's my choice. It's my shul. It's my decision. It's my shir. It's my wedding. It's my simcha. It's my bar mitzvah. It's my get together. I should be able to choose. Everybody should do. This is my favorite phrase of Corona. Everyone should do what makes them comfortable. The Bir HaGolah is saying absolute kfir. Everyone should do what makes them comfortable. You have to do what's right. You have to do what's right. What's right? What's right is to be cautious and careful and to listen to experts and to follow their advice and to follow their guidance. And so therefore, that is the way we preserve what we're supposed to preserve. Rav Shechter Shlita made a number of points in his approach to this whole Mahalach. First of all, Rav Shechter pointed out that those who've had this chus to learn Maseches Gittin and other areas of Shas are familiar that there's an enormous amount of medical literature in the Gemara. And the Otzar Gaonim makes very clear that we don't follow today the medical advice of the Gemara. Why? Because the medical advice of the Gemara, says the Gaonim, was not some sort of spiritual prophetic premonition of how to have health. It was the advice, it was based on the advice and guidance of that time. We are supposed to follow the advice and guidance of our time. Rav Shechter saw the inclusion of the medical parts of these sugyas as a standing proof that every generation has to codify the medical guidance and advice of the doctors in their generation. And so therefore, those are who we turn to. And so therefore, we turn to them. He then discussed also further this question of what we do when experts conflict. He quoted the sugya in Yuma. We quote here the Rambam in Hilchas Shvisas Asar, that if there is one, it's just interesting, the halacha is, the Gemara says it's Maseches Yuma. If the person on Yom Kippur says, I don't feel good, I think I need to break my fast, and the doctor says, I think he's fine. So you listen to the person and not the doctor, and you let them break their fast. But if the person says, I feel fine, I don't need to break my fast, and the doctor says, yes, you do need to break your fast, you listen to the doctor and you ignore the person. Right? We always, right? Because it's Sachanos Nefashos. And then it says, what happens if Rofa Echad Omer Tzarech, the Echad Omer Eino Tzarech? Machilin Oso. What if, this is in source number 21, Miktsas Arof in Omerom Tzarech, or Miktsas Omer Eino Tzarech? Hochin Achar Harov, or Achar Abekin. You go after either the experts or the majority, right? If you can't establish a majority, then you follow the experts. If you can, but in our situation, we have a whole field of experts from which we could draw a clear majority. Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein added the layer that he felt, based on the Orach HaShulchan, that the doctors and the professionals who are advising us to take the vaccine constitute the power of a bezdin. He writes that in the application of Torah law to contemporary societal realities, really, if that's supposed to be done through the koach of a bezdin, we don't have a bezdin of rabbonim that are medical research experts and immunology experts. And so therefore, we have to treat, and he writes, you treat the non-from in Israel or non-Jewish in America, you treat them as a bezdin. That's what he writes. V'lachein chisunim elu nigram sheyeshlam ishur bezdin. It's as if there's a little badatz right under that COVID-19. A bezdin telling you have to do this. V'lachein la'em yesh l'shmoa. Farizeh ke'ilu bezdin ha'yu omrim. Sheyesh li'yischa saying that it's important to take the vaccine. And he goes on to say that some people are saying we don't have to be so careful anymore, and we do. And of course, in source 23 from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, many are aware that a letter went out, a poster went out that was turned out to be fraudulent, and he corrected his, that impression by making very clear to everyone that he never subscribed to any sort of advice or guidance not to take this. So pretty much what you're dealing with is a situation where the range of halachic opinion ranges from you really, really, really should do this to you are obligated to do this. So what does that mean for us? That means for us, this is what we do in halacha. This is how we live our lives. This is everything. This is how we decide all our shailas. You know, lo aleinu, it shouldn't come to anyone on this Zoom. But for many people on this Zoom, we've stood together. in major end-of-life shilas. We've stood together in hospital wards or on the phone figuring out, do we do this treatment? Do we not do this treatment? Do we intubate? Do we not intubate? How do we handle the very end of life? What do we do exactly? How do we deal with all these things? And we are machni ourselves. We surrender to our halachic values in these questions, because who are we as human beings to decide whether or not someone should live or die? We don't decide if people should live or die. What do? We do all we can do. The only thing we could do is surrender to our value system and our Torah Kedosha. And our Torah decides what the right approach is to deal with extraordinarily challenging medical situations. And this is no different. This is no different. We trust our Gedolim. We trust our Poskim. And we trust them because we see that they are relying themselves on responsible medical advice. So that concludes our discussion for this evening. If anyone would like to post a question in the chat, where I'm happy to address it or to unmute our chevra. But I want to thank everyone for joining us, and thank everyone for coming together for this very special evening. And I do want to end, it's so important that we all have within the context of our tefillah such an expression of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not entitled to this. I'm not going to say we don't deserve it, but I don't know what we deserve and what we don't deserve. But I know this. I know that this could have gone on much, much longer, and this could have been out of reach for much, much longer. And we are blessed that we are living in a generation of such accelerated scientific research, and we should be thankful, and we should be responsible, and we should comport ourselves properly. The question that is coming up now is about the bracha, and we're going to treat that Be'ezus Hashem in part two next week. So we'll discuss. That is also a discussion. Do you make a bracha on receiving the vaccine? We'll have a shorter shiur next week where we'll discuss questions of priorities, of allocating the vaccine, a bracha on the vaccine, a couple of the other interesting halachic issues surrounding the issue. I'll ask just if Mark and Ellie, you have anything to add to us? Any?
No, I think you really said it all and put it in perspective for us to think about.
You know, I think we're kind of almost where we are, you know, a year ago, and I'm awfully curious as to how the upcoming Yom Tovim will be in the context of last year, and, you know, potentially in the context of a majority potentially of the community being vaccinated if they so choose to do so, you know, by Purim and Pesach time. And I just, you know, thinking sort of ahead how globally that will look, you know, in our community and others.
Sorry, I was muted. Yes, that discussion has started amongst Rabbanim. I could just tell you nationally that discussion has started. The Poskim don't really want to talk about it yet because they want to see where we land. There will be many questions of policy. There will be many questions of policy related to schools, related to shuls. It should be said that part of the guidance we're also getting, and I was discussing this with Ellie earlier tonight, is that the vaccination itself may not completely remove from us all of our obligations of caution in terms of masking and social distancing. And that's something that will obviously become clearer as the community becomes more educated about this issue. But we'll see. We'll see where we are. We'll see Be'ezus Hashem where we are. I imagine it'll be a Nisayon for all of us. It will once again be in a zone where there'll be different thoughts and different approaches, and it'll be important for us to come together and as a kehila to do the right thing and also preserve a sense of tolerance, respect, and Avos Yisrael throughout our community, like we do in all other areas of life and in all other areas of halacha. Even when we disagree with people, when we don't agree, we still preserve and we still maintain that sense of Avos Yisrael. And that's very important. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, everyone. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will see you next week. Laila Tov.